Let's pray together. Holy God, we want to know you. So help us to anchor ourselves in you. Draw us close to you and never let us go. And may we never let you go. In the holy name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We've had some interesting readings from the book of Hosea. And last week, I began to share with you some thoughts out of that book from the prophet Hosea. I asked a question last week. Does God feel anything? And specifically, does God feel anything towards us? What do we mean to God? I think the book of Hosea has a very specific answer to that question. The message in this prophet's writing is that since God is a God of love, God commits God's self to us. And when we wander away, that this does in fact affect the living God who created us for a relationship of love and communication. So I asked the question at the very end of the sermon last week, how do we respond to a God who commits God's self to us like that? How do we respond to a God who loves us that much? I'd like to just share some concluding thoughts about that this morning based on our text in Hosea. I think that most of the time when we think about wandering away from God, something down inside of us probably says, this is going to hurt me. Hosea adds a new dimension to our understanding of what it means to wander from God. It does hurt us when we wander from God. But God loses too, Hosea teaches us. You might say, but John, why would God feel that way about me? Well, think about this. This is what we teach our children, but we forget to take on board as meaningful as adults, that God made us, that we are one of God's little ones. I ran across a letter from God a few years ago, and it's made up of sections of scripture passages that are meant to be a quick summary of what scripture tells us God feels about each one of us. Let me share with you a portion of that letter. It goes like this. Dear daughter, or son, as may be the case, you may not feel that you know me very well, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down. I know when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, which for some of us means that God has to recount every morning. But you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. You are my offspring. I knew you before you were even conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You are not a mistake. All your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and when you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb, and I brought you forth the day you were born. Do you hear the echo from scripture in that letter? This is how much God loves us. And I think that somehow when we were younger, when we were little kids, that it was easier sometimes for us to instinctively feel and sense the closeness of God. I know that I sensed God in nature before I had any idea of what to call God, of how to communicate with God. And it seemed when we were younger, perhaps more easily to understand that we were meant to be together with God. But then we grew up. And everything got so complicated. A priest in a church in San Francisco was walking into the church building. It was a few days after Christmas. And as he was walking into the church building, Out of the corner of his eye, he noticed that baby Jesus was missing from the outdoor nativity. He thought, well, I'd better investigate this. So he walks up and down the block looking around when he notices a little boy pulling a red wagon behind him with baby Jesus in it. He walks up to the little boy and says, do you mind if I ask where you got that baby Jesus from? From the church, the little boy says. And do you mind if I ask what you are doing? Oh, the little boy said, well, about a week before Christmas, I promised Jesus that if he would get me a red wagon for Christmas, I would give him a ride around the block. When we were kids, younger, relationship with God was so instinctive. But I bet a few of us today, were we to buy a new car, how many of us would think of expressing profound gratitude to God? Why? What changed? It may be that as adults, we no longer naively accept uninformed views of the Bible or have a more sophisticated understanding of this or that theological point. We Episcopalians tend to have a very, I would say, mature or adult version of the Christian faith. We don't go in for some of the childish aspects of immature faith, such as intolerance or anti-intellectualism, sometimes found in churches. And I think that's a wonderful thing, but in relationships, and our relationship with God is no different, just because we find out more about another person, that does not mean that we distance ourselves from them. In fact, it allows for a deepening of the relationship. And sometimes with God, the wonder, the awe, the dependency that we maybe felt at once in our relationship with God can be lost when we react against types of Christianity that offend us. Maybe we hold on still to views of God that are distancing us from God, which is never something God desires. I have a friend named Stacy I grew up with. And when she was a little girl, her mother would say to her, Stacy, if there's ever anything you need or want to say to somebody, but you're afraid to say it, know that you can always say it to God. Stacy took that to heart. And so as other kids around her were inventing imaginary friends and playing with them, Stacy says, I had a friend who was far more special, Jesus. Stacy says, I can remember lots of times when I was playing Barbie with Jesus. Some of you may have been right there with her. I bet Jesus would treasure a moment like that. There were times, Stacy says, when she would go out to the field near her house and sing songs to God at the top of her lungs, and the cows would be mooing back, almost as if God was taking so much delight in the song that God says, I want everything to join in harmony with all creation singing together. I think God delights in that kind of fellowship. Do you remember when you were younger and everything was so much more instinctive? Remember perhaps finding yourself at the end of a long day sharing with God your dreams, your concerns, and you thought to yourself, life couldn't possibly get any more perfect. But then as we grow up, sometimes things change. Some of my gay friends who grew up as young children knowing God, talking to God, soon began to hear when they were teenagers that God didn't think they were okay. A friend of mine named Mark grew up loving God, walking with God, but then people began telling him, you're not the way God wants you to be. And so eventually, at the age of 30, Mark went into reparative therapy. At the time, he was on staff at a 2,000-member church as a pastor of worship and arts. For 2 years, he did reparative therapy to try to become straight, but nothing changed. So at the end of that period, he broke off his career, He came out to his family and his church. He began pushing away from God because he thought that was the only option he had. In the years that follow, Mark decided, if I'm going to hell, then I'm going to live like it. And you don't have to be a sexual minority to experience that in the church. Many people feel as if they've lived lives that have disappointed God. If others only knew the real me, and they hold on to shame, and they let it get in the way of their relationship with God. And so the years that followed, Mark spent living a life of being promiscuous, living a wild life. In those years, Mark says, I was searching, but I was always unfulfilled. Sometimes I was so depressed because, you see, he was missing his best friend. And I think Hosea's message is his best friend was missing him as well. Can you imagine how excited God must have been the day Mark first walked back into church and started opening his heart to God again? That happened about 5 years ago. And that day, as a middle-aged adult now, Mark once again began singing songs to God. As Jesus teaches us, I am sure that there was joy in heaven because Mark was back. This is how much God loves us. Like a good parent who loves a child who has wandered away but comes back. John, you may say, you keep switching metaphors on me. We said last week that Hosea's message is that when we wander away from God, that God feels like a spouse betrayed. Now God feels like a parent whose child has gone away and comes back. I think actually the prophet Hosea keeps alternating between those two exact metaphors in his writings, as if to say, if you really want to understand how God feels about you, you have to take life's two most significant relationships, the love between two spouses and the love between a parent and a child, blend them together, and then you begin to approximate how deeply, how profoundly God cares about us. That parent-child metaphor is developed fully in Hosea 11. Look what God says there. When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, out of slavery, I called my son. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk. Ephraim was one of God's pet names for Israel. It was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them, each and every Israelite in every generation, I took them in my arms. I led them with cords of kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? And so in the final analysis, in the book of the prophet Hosea, God has worked through the anger, and God's conclusion is, I can't let you go. Israel, and by extension, all of God's creation God is saying, I will take you back any day, any hour, any time. Maybe you have been wandering out there like Israel. Is it not time to rekindle your walk with God? You can rekindle that simple, pure relationship with God at any time. Maybe you feel kind of like the man in the story about the dog I told last week. I got a lot of comments about that story this week. Yes, I'll watch out for sad stories from now on. There was a time, perhaps, when you and God were close. Then you got into a relationship. Now there's a home to maintain. There's family, and little by little, bit by bit, gradually, without even realizing it, we push God aside until one day it's almost as if we've dropped God off at the shelter. I see it happening all the time. People who are in intimate, loving relationship with God until they find a new relationship. And then it's like, I've found somebody else, God. I don't need you anymore. See you later. Or people who take a new job and it disrupts their patterns and all of a sudden God is last on the list. Or people become parents that birth babies or adopt children. And they're a handful. And you can never anticipate all that that will involve. But before long, God gets squeezed out. Maybe now would be a good time to recharge ourselves spiritually, to take on board the message that Hosea is conveying to us, to say that we are going to give priority to our commitment to God. If you're in that boat, whether you've felt far away from God for a long time, and you want to return to the God of your life, Hosea's message to us is that that can take place at any time, anywhere. May God draw each one of us closer to God's living presence. Amen.